Hey, I'm Johanna Wagstaff.
And hi there, I'm Rohith Joseph.
And we're asking for 10 minutes of your day to go through the 10 things that the UN recommends we can all do when it comes to climate change.
Please don't leave.
No.
And also, the things aren't new.
We are just wired to not do them.
We promise you to help you figure out your brains, and you and your people can make better choices to combat climate change.
10 Minutes to Save the Planet is available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This is World Report. Good morning, I'm Marcia Young. Ontario's four largest school boards are launching lawsuits against the companies behind Snapchat, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. They are seeking billions of dollars in damages, and they say the apps have a big impact on schools, kids, and learning. Tricia Kindleman reports.
The lawsuit alleges these social media products are designed for compulsive use and have rewired the way children think, behave, and learn. The suit includes the Ottawa-Carleton District School Board, along with Toronto District, Toronto Catholic, and Peel District School Boards. The boards say they are being left to manage the fallout of social media when they're already just getting by with limited resources. Duncan Embry with 19 LLP has been retained by the school boards. He wants to make change since he says these companies are aware of the problems their young users are facing.
The best case scenario I can give it to you in one word, change. Change to the nature of the algorithmic designs underlying these products, change to the age restrictions, change to the parental controls, but also change in terms of the resources.
The boards are looking for $4.5 billion to help them respond to the evolving needs of students. Tricia Kindleman, CBC News, Toronto.
There is some surprising news this morning on the Canadian economy. Statistics Canada reports gross domestic product is up 0.6% in January. That's better than what economists were forecasting. CBC senior business correspondent Peter Armstrong has more.
I think you can safely call this a rebound. The headline number is better than expected. The flash estimate for February, better than expected. You know, manufacturing led the charge here, which is good because we saw a pretty sharp decline in manufacturing back in December. So all this feeds into that narrative that the economy is poised to pose something of a rebound through 2024. And these data might tell us that it's coming faster even than we might have expected. But there's always a but, isn't there? It's evident that some of this isn't just the kind of economic grind of people buying more stuff. A big chunk of the rebound in manufacturing, for example, comes as production resumed at auto assembly plants after they had shut down for some retooling in December. Another big contributor, education, is back on track after some labor action in Quebec. So it's a good report, but like everything else these days, it includes some important caveats and points to a still choppy road back to that recovery. Peter Armstrong, CBC News, Toronto.
The public inquiry into foreign interference is hearing from witnesses who have been harassed by foreign actors. Yesterday, people representing Chinese, Sikh, Iranian, Russian, and Uyghur communities were testifying. Janice McGregor joins me from our Parliamentary Bureau. And Janice, what concerns are they raising?
Marcia, anyone who went into this inquiry skeptical about whether foreign interference is that big a deal had their eyes opened by this lead-off panel yesterday afternoon that painfully, anxiously, with evident frustration, recounted how hostile actors from China, India, Iran, and Russia harass their communities for political gain. People like Mehmet Toti from the Uyghur Rights Advocacy Project. Under former leader Aaron O'Toole, conservatives championed the recognition of a genocide against Uyghurs in China, adopted policies that advocates like Toti asked for, like action against Beijing's use of forced labor. But as this inquiry is going to probe, conservatives believe they were targeted for that in the 2021 election. They believe they lost votes as a result. Toti told the inquiry that since then, he sees the official opposition pulling back from its previous commitment to his cause.
And a new leader of the Conservative Party has yet to mention Uyghur genocide in the parliament, in compare to Aaron O'Toole. And so you can see that difference.
A troubling suggestion that not only is foreign interference present in Canada, it's working and shaping our politics.
Today, the inquiry is hearing from Canada's election officials. What more can you tell us about that?
No one's suggesting that the last two federal elections were stolen, per se, but it's a question about whether hostile actors are putting fingers on the scale. Some conservatives have argued that in 8 or 9 ridings with large Chinese diaspora populations, they did as punishment for their hawkish foreign policy positions. This inquiry has to figure out whether that's true, and if so, how? Because if malicious actors are able to tilt close races in the future, that's a serious problem for our democracy.
Thank you, Janice.
You're welcome.
The CBC's Janice McGregor in Ottawa. Ireland says it is intervening in South Africa's controversial court case against Israel. The International Court of Justice is examining whether genocide is being committed in Gaza. Ireland wants it to widen the identification of, or the definition of genocide to include the restriction of aid. Foreign Minister Micheál Martin says Israel's actions are collective punishment on Palestinians for the crimes of Hamas. Ukrainian officials say Russia launched a new type of guided bomb at the city of Kharkiv. It can be controlled in the air. It is powerful and it is relatively cheap. At least one person was killed in the Russian attack on Wednesday. 19 others were wounded, including 4 children. Anna Cunningham has more from London.
At the scene of the latest Russian shelling in Kharkiv, Vladislav head bandaged, searches through what's left of his flat. Outside the 5-story apartment, a crowd looks on at their now destroyed homes. Vladislav's girlfriend Katerina says it was only by chance that she survived. This latest airstrike has concerned the local authorities because they believe a new type of bomb was used. Vladimir Tymoshko is head of the Kharkiv Regional Police. This is something between a guided aerial bomb, which the Russians have used recently, he says. It's a flying bomb. Kharkiv's regional governor is Oleh Sinohov. He agrees this was a universal inter-type flying bomb. The Russians decided to test their modified bombs on the residents of the houses, he says. The bomb is significant because it can be controlled by soldiers like a cruise missile, but is cheaper to produce. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky has condemned the attack as Russian terror. Russia denies targeting civilians. Anna Cunningham for CBC News, London.
U.S. President Joe Biden will attend what could be the most lucrative political fundraiser in American history. The event in New York is reportedly bringing in $25 million for the Biden campaign. For more, we're joined by the CBC's Richard Madden in Washington. And Richard, what makes this fundraiser such a big deal?
Yeah, so beyond the record-shattering amount, President Joe Biden will be sharing the stage with two of his predecessors, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. It'll be emceed by late-night host Stephen Colbert at New York's Radio City Music Hall. And ticket prices range by access. $225 gets you a seat. Up to $500,000 gets you access and a picture. Now, this is also the first major campaign appearance by Obama and Clinton this cycle. Now, last week, Obama spent hours at the White House recording several videos for the Biden campaign, including protecting women's rights and his signature policy, the Affordable Care Act.
As you know, Joe is an extraordinary friend and partner. He was by my side for 8 years. Together, we accomplished a lot. And there's nothing I'm more proud of than the ACA.
Now, Obama will reportedly be more active on the campaign trail, visiting college campuses and doing outreach to African-American and Latino voters. Those are weak spots for Biden. And while both Obama and Clinton are rock stars within the party, it's an open question if they still have the political sway they once enjoyed.
How does this compare to the fundraising efforts of Donald Trump and his campaign?
Right. Well, election records show Biden holds a huge cash advantage, $155 million raised in February, compared to Trump's $37 million, and much of those donations are being spent on his legal bills. But this election will also test the power of campaign cash. Trump proved in 2016 you don't need to raise the most money to win the presidency.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
The CBC's Richard Madden reporting from Washington.
This ain't Texas.
She gave us this preview after the Super Bowl. Tomorrow we get the rest of Beyoncé's new country album. It's called Cowboy Carter. Beyoncé released a list of the tracks on her Instagram account. It includes a reference to the groundbreaking country performer Linda Martell. She became the first black woman to play the Grand Ole Opry. And there's also a hint Beyoncé may pay tribute to Dolly Parton on the album. We'll find out tomorrow. And that is the latest national and international news from World Report. I'm Marcia Young.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.